We have a really important story at the top of the show this morning. And sometimes, and you'll hear me say this often to you, when it is a story of this nature that's of real public importance, that please slowly walk through it with me and concentrate on it, because it's really important for your rights in this country. It's about what happens when a citizen tries to defend their reputation against powerful public bodies. Today, we're going to reveal how the Public Service Ombudsman threatened a man with contempt for sharing a report that was about him. Now, that's the Public Service Ombudsman that is there to ensure that you, quote, are served by a fair and efficient public administration that is committed to accountability, openness, and quality of service. That citizen waited 3 years for the Ombudsman's report and is now being told he cannot share it with anybody. Here's the story. A report was on the Charity Commission's website, which was inaccurate about this man. The Ombudsman investigated and found in his favour. But they then told this man he couldn't tell anybody at the moment. Gregory Burke mentioned the Ombudsman report and some of her findings in an email to government officials, and that was enough for Marie Anderson to write to him and threaten him with contempt. She went further, in fact. She threatened that he would, quote, be fixed with all legal costs incurred by her office. All legal costs. That's the bottomless resources of the state threatening one individual citizen with legal costs. Now, Mr. Burke found that terrifying. Who wouldn't? He came to us. And guess what? The Nolan Show has been forensically looking into the Ombudsman, Marie Anderson's claims. We've been looking forensically into her threats against this citizen. And we can't find, and the Ombudsman has been able to provide to us, anything that legally prevents Mr. Burke sharing the findings of this report. The thrust of the Ombudsman's argument is that to do so would prejudice a High Court case. Now, how can you prejudice a judge that is sitting with no jury? I think every journalist in the country will be wondering that. Maybe there was something we weren't aware of. So we spent time in this story. We went to the top. We went to the Lord Chief Justice's office. And we asked the Lord Chief Justice's office if they were aware of anything that could stop us reporting the findings of the Ombudsman's report. And here's what came back. The court has not made any orders that would prevent publication of the case details. So why the threatening letter from the Public Service Ombudsman to this one private citizen? I will use this correspondence to fix you with all legal costs incurred by this office, she said. That's interesting. Let's hear from the man at the heart of all of this. Gregory Burke was involved in a dispute with the Charity Commission. He won a dispute with them in a charity tribunal and thought that was that, but it wasn't. I spoke to Greg about what happened next.
I was trying to move on with my life, and in 2015, I was made aware that this inquiry report had been published on the Charity Commission's website. And when I read it, I was completely aghast. So that was when I went to the Northern Ireland Public Ombudsman and made the complaint.
What was the pressure like? You say there was, it was pressure. What was it like? What were you worried about?
Reputational damage. I had never been in a court of law in my life. I've never been accused of anything like that before. And it's amazing what you'll do when your reputation's at stake. You know, the lengths you'll go to protect it. And it's only when something like that happens that you realise how important your reputation is to you. I'd been a charity volunteer for many years and enjoyed what I'd done. And this was basically just pulled out, the rug was pulled out from under my feet.
And how did the pressure manifest itself?
There was family pressure and just the whole stress of having to go to court and then having to complain about this statutory inquiry report that had just appeared out of the blue. I was never given an opportunity to comment on it or comment on the factual, you know, the factual accuracy of the report itself. And, you know, I was aware that it was in public, on public show, you know, for anyone to read. I complained to the minister. I complained to the Department for Communities. I complained to the charity commissioners. I complained to anyone that would listen, and no one wanted to do anything about it. It was just, you know, falling on deaf ears.
And yet it was having an impact on your life. Were you losing sleep?
Yeah, I was stressed at the time, you know. It was a bad period of my life, you know. So
why did you care?
Well, your reputation, at the end of the day, it's all you have, you know. You know, my reputation means a lot to me, and the charitable work that I've done meant a lot to me as well. So it was down to, had applied to the Ombudsman to challenge the report, and the Ombudsman initially refused to look at the report. So I went to see my MLA at the time, Joanne Dobson, and it was thanks to Joanne and Ross Hussey that the Ombudsman eventually agreed. We went to Stormont to meet Tom Frawley. At the time, he was the outgoing Ombudsman, and he agreed then that they should look at the report. So that was nearly 3 years ago, and eventually the report has now been published. Well, to myself anyway.
So that report has now been shared with you. This is the Public Service Ombudsman.
Uh-huh.
What did it conclude? What did it say?
It concludes that the statutory inquiry report contains factual inaccuracies about myself and others. It says that the report is attended by maladministration. They have awarded me £500 solatium, which is basically just, you know, for hurt feelings and the frustration and upset of having to bring the complaint to the Ombudsman in the first place.
So I don't want people to get bored with something here where they think that this is a technicality. This is essentially a story of you as a citizen having allegations made against you and the system clearing you of those allegations, reports then being written where the Public Service Ombudsman concludes that there was maladministration by the Charity Commission, that they should apologise to you, that they should remove the report forthwith. And you share that report. And this is getting to what we're doing the story on this morning.
Yeah.
So you then share that report with who?
I am bound, there's a statutory bar on me disclosing any findings from the report whatsoever. I am not even allowed to tell you that there's been maladministration found within the Charities Commission for Northern Ireland.
So then, hold on a minute.
I'm now in contempt of court, allegedly, from the Ombudsman.
So they're allowed to write reports about you that are inaccurate and put it on a website. This is the Charity Commission. And you're not allowed to make public or disseminate a report that clears you. So to the story, which I think is very important in the public interest for us to cover, the Ombudsman, the Public Services Ombudsman, who have concluded that the Charity Commission cocked up, they've now threatened you with contempt, haven't they?
Yeah.
What have they said to you?
They've said I had challenged the Charities Commission about they had written on their website that the report had been taken offline for updating, and I had wrote to the Charities Commission and the Department for Communities and said that it was inaccurate, that the report had been taken down to correct factual inaccuracies. And the Ombudsman wrote back to me the same day saying that she believed that was contempt of court because the Department for Communities were not party to the investigation.
It has come to my attention, says the Public Services Ombudsman, that you forwarded an email to the Charity Commission disclosing the existence of my report and referring to my findings. Well, yes, you did, because it was about you and it was inaccuracies about you and it was about the Charity Commission and what they had done wrong to you. And this Public Services Ombudsman, who is this?
Marie Anderson.
She continues, I note that you copied into this correspondent two senior officials at the Department for Communities who were not a party to this investigation. In the covering letter, she goes on to quote legislation, and she says, "I consider your actions in disclosing the findings of my investigation to the department without lawful authority to be in breach of the confidentiality requirements provided for in the 2016 Act, which is also contempt under that Act." She says, it was not my intention to publish my confidential investigation report in light of potential prejudice to ongoing High Court proceedings involving the Charity Commission. Well, what's the point of the public services, public being one of the key words in this? What's the point of this lady doing a report if it's all to be kept secret?
This has taken 3 years to compile this report. And there should be, you know, no one should be afraid of the truth. This is absolutely the truth, and I believe it's in the public interest.
Then she threatens you by saying, "I request that you cease further unlawful disclosures of my report or any of its contents." When I say she threatens you, she says that when she talked about taking proceedings against you, she says such proceedings will be made without further notice to you. In that event, I will use this correspondence to fix you with all legal costs incurred by this office in relation to this matter. So this is the Public Services Ombudsman basically threatening you with legal costs now because you're wanting to at least communicate with people about a report that cleared your name.
Because they challenged the Charities Commission and their sponsor department, the Department for Communities. That's who the email went to, the Permanent Secretary, and they're fully aware of this whole report and what has been going on all along. I've brought this to the Department for Communities over a number of years, and they say they're an arm's length body and they have no remit to deal with this, what I see as clear mismanagement by the staff of the Charities Commission for Northern Ireland.
We've taken some legal advice on this because I think this story, with all due respect to you, Gregory, of course this story, your story, is important to you and we care about that, all right? What we are also interested in this programme is a story about the might of the Ombudsman, the might of these big, powerful organisations saying, we're going to fix you, the citizen, with our legal costs and all that kind of stuff.
Pretty scary stuff for an ordinary working man.
Yeah, well, it doesn't scare me, and that's what we're here for. So we have taken some legal advice on the contents of what the Ombudsman has sent to you. And the Ombudsman quotes the Public Services Ombudsman Act, but that Act simply sets out the procedure for conducting investigations. It is irrelevant, according to our legal advice, to the point at issue. In other words, whether or not the contents of the report can be disclosed. It is also clear that reports are not intrinsically private from the simple fact that the Ombudsman has discretion to publish them.
That's correct.
And yet you, an ordinary working man, were being threatened with legal costs. Their legal costs.
I know the Ombudsman isn't allowed to release the information given during the investigation, but the findings surely should be made public because the findings are absolutely in the public interest and they are the truth.
You see, sometimes you get powerful organisations quoting legislation and quoting sections of acts, and how on earth, if you're, you know, an ordinary individual, do you know all the details about that, right? Unless you're a qualified specialist. We asked a BBC lawyer to look at other stuff the Public Services Ombudsman has said, for example. By the way, she's there to determine impartially what has happened and what hasn't happened. And she points out to you, and she has done that, by the way, she just doesn't want it to become public. But she also quotes to you Section 49, which sets out how the information disclosed to the Ombudsman must be handled. And it provides expressly that the information can be disclosed for the purpose of a report on the investigation. It does not operate to create a blanket ban on the Ombudsman or a third party from disclosing the contents of a report. Nor is any offence of unlawful disclosure provided for. So it would be pretty strange, would it not? This is the legal advice that we are getting from our lawyers. Mm-hmm. It would be very strange if a party to a complaint could be gagged from disclosing the outcome of an investigation about them. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to the Public Service Ombudsman, Marie Anderson. I want to go back to the letter that she has sent you, essentially saying, if you do this and that and the other, she's going to fix you with all legal costs incurred by her department. Mm-hmm. What do you say to the Ombudsman about all of this and her threat to go after you for money, for costs?
It's a scary threat, but at the same time, I've invested so much resource into this report, and I've worked so hard to bring this to this point in time. I'm prepared to take that risk. You know, you only get one chance in life, and if you don't grab it, then I think you're doing yourself an injustice.
You know, I see so many things in this letter. Just given, I'm no better than you or anything like it. Just because I deal with this type of stuff day in day out, I see where the ombudsman has cited as. I'll read the paragraph. She says, "You'll be aware that I indicated in my previous letter that it was not my intention to publish my confidential investigation report in light of potential prejudice to ongoing High Court proceedings involving the Charity Commission NI, right?" Mm-hmm. So she's essentially saying there, look, we don't want to prejudice a High Court case. But that High Court case is a civil proceeding and it's before a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard way of looking at court cases is that you cannot prejudice a judge. Now, if there's a jury, it's different. There is no jury. There's mm-hmm. just a judge in that case she's referring to. So publication of the outcome of your complaint could not remotely be considered to amount to a substantial risk of serious prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Not even remotely be considered to amount to it. So what? Why is the ombudsman saying there's a potential to prejudice that case?
I think it's more important to say that this High Court case she mentions, I have nothing to do with it. You know, it's not a case that I'm involved in personally. So it really isn't something that I can't understand why she's trying to link this report to another completely separate case.
What faith do you have in public authorities in Northern Ireland after all this?
None whatsoever.
But the ombudsman, and I know I keep coming back to this, but the ombudsman is a role which is supposed to have oversight over all of this.
Yeah.
The ombudsman is supposed to be part of the check and balance in all mm-hmm. of this. And you were happy with her report.
Yes, I think the report's fair, but just to gag me at the end of the report is grossly unfair.
So here's what I propose to do. I propose that we will write to the Public Services Ombudsman. We will dissect these points that she has made to you about gagging you,
mm-hmm.
and we will ask her to justify each of them. How can she do that? Why is she citing a High Court proceeding and the potential prejudice if there's no jury, for example? What lawful authority does she have to gag you? And we'll do all that, and we'll see how she responds to the Nolan Show.
That's great, Stephen. I really appreciate your help. To say that the ombudsman is supposed to be there as a, like you say, as a check and balance on public services, once they go wrong. And, it just, to me, it seems that sometimes they've just spent so much time investigating this report. I just believe it's, definitely in the public interest to be published.
Well, there's one individual citizen taking on the whole might of the ombudsman. He says it's really terrifying for him to do so. We asked the Public Service Ombudsman to come on to the programme today and set out what her position is. She's refused to do so. She has given us a statement in which she says the ombudsman has decided not to publish her investigation report at this stage because she considers there's a potential prejudice to ongoing legal proceedings. The ombudsman recognises that others may have a different view, but her decision has been made after careful deliberation and in the exercise of her statutory authority. Well, that's interesting for a start. She says in that statement, recognises that others may have a different view. That's what she says to the BBC. She didn't say that to Mr. Burke when she wrote to him, threatening him with all legal costs incurred by her office. She continues in her statement, "The Ombudsman's decision will be kept under review, and the investigation report in this case will be published in due course when the Ombudsman considers it is appropriate to do so." She says, since the Ombudsman has commenced her public reporting powers, she's published most of her investigation reports. Only a very small number of reports have not been published. These were cases involving potential harm to the complainant, highly sensitive personal information, and cases involving family and child welfare issues. In these cases, the interests of the relevant parties outweighed the public interest in publication. Were it not for the potential prejudice to ongoing legal proceedings, the investigation report in this case would be published. Which brings us back again. How can you prejudice a High Court judge? That's my question to the Ombudsman this morning. Let's come back to your statement. She says, just to restate our position on the wording of our letter to Mr. Burke, the Ombudsman is in receipt of legal advice to the effect that if a complainant authority or any other person were to disclose the contents of a report issued to them by the Ombudsman, then this would be contempt under the 2016 Act. You see, look very carefully at what the Ombudsman's doing there. She's saying to disclose the contents of a report. What Mr. Burke did was disclosed, just mentioned, some of the findings of her report. Not contents, findings. The Ombudsman continues in her statement. In such very rare cases such as this, where confidential information appears to have been disclosed, the legal advice states that it is necessary for her to remind those who have disclosed the information of their obligations under this legislation and to draw to their attention the potential consequences. The Ombudsman does not address the point about publication by Mr. Burke and us of the findings as opposed to the information provided to the Ombudsman. And all of the case law, and I want you to know this at home, all of the case law that the Ombudsman quoted in relation to our questions was about the information provided to the Ombudsman. All right? It was not about the findings of her report. I know this is complicated, but you know what? Sometimes we all have to walk through this slowly because this is about your rights if you come up against any big, powerful body. We've spent time in this story. We also went to the legal expert, Joshua Rosenberg, and I began by asking him if what happened to Mr. Burke sounded fair to him.
I can see why Gregory Burke is pretty fed up, and I can see why he wants the report to be published, and I hope it will be published. The problem from the Ombudsman's point of view is that she says that she's not ready to do so, and she says he's jumped the gun. And maybe the right thing to do is to challenge her decision, to persuade her that she should publish this report, as she has published other reports, that may be the answer to his problem and her problem.
Yeah, there may be questions about whether he can share the entire report, but surely he can share its findings.
Well, the Ombudsman says that he can't share the details of the report. Now, whether he can simply say, I've been cleared, and that's okay, or whether that's part of her findings is something we can argue about. But she certainly says that information that she has obtained in confidence from the people she's investigated can't be further shared. And that seems to be what Parliament has decided. This was considered by an English judge in an entirely separate case, this judge said it can't have been Parliament's intention that information is disclosed to the person who makes a complaint, in this case somebody like Gregory Burke, and then he just uses the information that he chooses to, because the legislation says that information disclosed to the Ombudsman shouldn't be further disclosed except for the purposes of her investigation.
But that is about information disclosed to the Ombudsman. Surely the point here is that the Ombudsman is arguing that one of the reasons that she is exercising her lawful authority to stop this being distributed is the potential for contempt. Now, how on earth can you prejudice a judge? There is no jury in these High Court proceedings. So where is she getting
that
from?
I agree with you. She's a public figure. She is being very cautious. She is concerned that her report might in some way influence the judge. But I must say I share your point of view, Stephen, on this. It's one thing if there's a jury. It's one thing if there are criminal charges. But as I understand it, what this judge is being asked to decide is a question of law. It's what the law says on this particular issue. The issue Parliament means, whether the Charity Commission can delegate its powers to its staff. I can't see how anything that the Ombudsman might find on the facts should affect that question of law, but I fully accept that there may be more to this case than has been made public.
She says to this individual, to Gregory Burke, she says, "I request that you cease further unlawful disclosures of my report." So she is determining it's unlawful. So it's not a grey matter in her view. It is definitely unlawful. Has that been tested in court?
Not in this particular case.
So how can she state as a fact that it's unlawful?
Well,
how come she's the judge?
Well, she says she has taken legal advice. No doubt if Gregory Burke has taken legal advice, the two lawyers can argue it up. She says that this is what she thinks the law says. Now, she may be right in saying that her reports are confidential until she decides to publish them, but it's quite another thing to say that it would be in contempt of court, that's really what she's arguing. She says that Gregory Burke is at risk of being punished. Now, I'm not at all sure that that's completely accurate. It's not at all clear that it provides penalties of the sort she's talking about. On the other hand, it would no doubt be prudent for Mr. Burke to persuade her to publish it and perhaps not test this question about whether he can be punished for, as she says, disclosing what she says is a confidential report at the moment.
Is this not, Joshua, the mighty power of the state? David v. Goliath. He have this Goliath-like ombudsman with all the resources and power against a citizen who would find it very difficult to financially fight back. And this is he has described it as very scary. And he is faced with this threat, and that's what it is, from the ombudsman, who says, such proceedings, these are the contempt of court proceedings that she has highlighted. She says such proceedings will be made without further notice to you. In that event, I will use this correspondence to fix you with all the legal costs incurred by this office in relation to this matter. So you have an ombudsman stating that something is unlawful, despite the fact it hasn't been tried in front of a court, and then threatening the citizen that all of the legal costs of even trying to test that will be met against him. Is that a democracy in action?
It does seem very heavy-handed, doesn't it, Stephen? After all, the ombudsman is there to help the citizen fight bureaucracy, to find out what's gone wrong and to put it right. On the other hand, she feels she's under an obligation to keep within the rules that she is there to enforce, and she is therefore warning Gregory Burke of the dangers that he faces. Now, your listeners can decide whether her letter is perhaps rather more aggressive than it needs to be. On the other hand, she says he's done something which he was told by her that he shouldn't do.
No, she says he's broken the law. So if he's broken the law, why hasn't she reported him to the police?
Well, it's not a criminal offence.
I request that you cease further unlawful disclosures of my report.
Yes, that doesn't mean that he's committed a crime. It just means that there is law saying that reports she makes are confidential until they are disclosed. And she says that the way forward is to report what she has found to the High Court, and where the High Court considers that there has been a breach, then it may deal with the person charged in the same way as it could if somebody was in contempt of court. Now, it strikes me those powers are designed for people who obstruct the ombudsman when she's trying to get information. So a public body refuses to tell her things. Well, she reports them to the High Court, and the High Court punish them. I'm not at all sure that this particular power was designed to punish individuals who make complaints and then disclose them against the rules. I'm not sure there is a power to punish them
and
in this way.
Joshua, Mr. Burke was not publishing this information on his Twitter feed. He was not putting it on some type of comedy blog. The reason why the ombudsman has gone doolally is because Mr. Burke has shared this correspondence, in the ombudsman's own admission, with two senior officials at the Department for Communities. So this is an official government department. These are senior people within it. This is a government department which oversees the Charity Commission. And in response to doing that, this guy's getting threatened that he'll essentially lose the shirt of his back if he keeps on doing it. And all he was doing was asking them to make sure that the recommendations were followed up. So again, let's sum this up to the general public. A citizen contacting government saying, could you please make sure that the recommendations are followed up? And that citizen gets a threatening letter from the ombudsman whose role it is to protect the public.
She says that these senior officials at the Department for Communities were not a party to the investigation. In other words, they were not people who needed to see her report. Whether her handling of this is heavy-handed, or whether it's simply trying to enforce the law for which she's responsible, is something that your listeners can decide for themselves. But I do think that the best way forward would be for perhaps Mr. Burke and the Ombudsman to get together, work out where we're going from here, for the Ombudsman maybe to consider whether there really is a bar to publishing this report, whether there really is a serious risk of contempt of court, and maybe the way forward is simply to publish this and let bygones be bygones.
Let me put it a different way. The Department for Communities oversees the Charity Commission. How does he communicate with the government body that oversees the Charity Commission to try to get them to follow up their findings if he's not allowed to mention anything about what the follow-up was supposed to be? Like, how does he defend himself?
As far as the Ombudsman is concerned, he's meant to wait until she is ready to publish her report, which I suppose, in her view, would be after this court case has concluded, whenever that is, and then she publishes the report and he can then talk to the department. He might think that would take an even longer time than this has taken already. So it might be better if she reconsiders her reluctance to publish and publishes as she has in the past and is committed to doing in the future.
They replied to the Nolan Show, and we have noticed a change in language, and I just wonder if you draw any consequence from this, any significance from this, Joshua. So in the letter to Mr. Burke, the citizen, the Ombudsman says, I request that you cease further unlawful disclosures of my report. But to the BBC, we said we want clarity on why the findings of the report could not be disclosed and why that is in the public interest. She says the Ombudsman has decided not to publish her investigation report at this stage because she considers there is a potential prejudice to ongoing legal proceedings. So it's definite contempt in the letter to Mr. Burke, and now it's potential prejudice when they're talking to us.
It sounds as if she's backtracking a bit, doesn't it? And there's somewhere else where she says that she is taking legal advice and she's a public figure she's therefore concerned not to do anything that a public figure shouldn't do. She also says that she recognises others may have a different view, but her decision...
She didn't say that to Mr. Burke.
She didn't, did she? No. And therefore, it all goes to show the advantages of Mr. Burke contacting you and you contacting the Ombudsman.
So, Joshua, the Ombudsman, when they write to the BBC, after we've taken this case on board, she's now talking about a potential prejudice to ongoing legal proceedings. The Ombudsman also tells us that her decision will be kept under review, that others may take a different view. The language to the BBC is surely, well, I've noticed that it's very different when she writes to us than when she wrote to the single citizen.
She's clearly stepping back, isn't she? I think she is conceding that there are other points of view on this and that there is another way of looking at this case and that there are two views of any legal issue. So it looks to me as if your approach to her has produced a rather calmer response than we had with Mr. Burke And she can see that there are different ways of looking at this and is perhaps stepping back from her original approach.
So that's the legal expert, Joshua Rosenberg. There has been another twist to this story. The Nolan Show understands that on the same day the Ombudsman issued the legal threat to Mr. Burke, she authorised the Charity Commission to share the findings and recommendations of the report with the same department he had written to. And that's our understanding. Now, we did get yet another statement in from the Public Service Ombudsman yesterday. She defended her decision on the grounds that it was a proportionate response and that she had allowed the Charity Commission to share their findings with officials from the Department of Communities to give effect to her recommendations and in light of the complainant's disclosures. I think, I have no doubt, look, as you're driving along the car this morning, or indeed you're sitting at home and you're thinking, wow, this is heavy stuff, and you're maybe understanding, you know, half of it first time you're listening to it. Well, first of all, you can read the full details about this on the BBC News website. That's the BBC News Northern Ireland website, where you can find it right there now and some of the detail of our journalism behind it. But in terms of this being a heavy story, I'll just say it as it is to you, really. Sometimes what we need to do in this programme is take the airtime, that valuable airtime that you give us, that you pay for, and concentrate on one individual citizen and their story. Because what chance has he got against the might of any government authority or the might of any public body? And sometimes we need to just do that. Stand back and look at how one individual is being treated in Northern Ireland.